his disciples.
And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to a time of trial." And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and for everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you really want to make someone sweat, ask them to say a prayer in public without giving them any more. Whenever we have a congregational meal or a talent show or some church function, I'm always tempted to ask someone else in the congregation to offer the prayer, but unfortunately, I'm supposed to be compassionate. I joke about this, but praying in front of others is often really uncomfortable for many of us. A couple of years ago, Cheryl's family had a reunion while I was out of town, and Cheryl had to go by herself. Shortly after she arrived, one of Cheryl's aunts walked up to her and said, "Cheryl, since Keith's not here, you're the closest thing we have to a minister. Would you offer the prayer over the meal?" Now, I didn't see her face, but I'm sure it was something close to the deer in the headlights look. Please understand that praying at public gatherings is not part of the preacher's wife's job description, nor is it something that she should be expected to do. Remember that when you call your new pastor. Being married to me, or being married to any pastor, is hard enough. Don't add more problems to me. Do you remember the first time that you were asked to pray in public? To pray spontaneously at some church function or some other gathering? My guess is that most of us were scared to death. When I was in youth group, at the end of every meeting, our youth leaders made us gather in a circle, and we prayed together, and everyone was required to say something. Maybe it was a word or a name or a phrase, but what they were trying to do was to create a safe place where we could learn to pray out loud and be comfortable with that. Because they wanted us, as we became older, to have the ability to pray with groups of people to help lead others in prayer. I guess as a preacher, I'm kind of a professional prayer, or maybe an intercessory engineer. It's my job to pray, and I can tell you that even though I know that I'm always going to be asked to pray, sometimes it's unnerving, and sometimes words are hard to find. At least I know that the chances are, wherever I'm going to go, someone's going to ask me to pray so I can think about it and be prepared. But sometimes that doesn't even happen. Why is it that we are so afraid to pray in public, to pray out loud with other people? I guess maybe we're afraid that we'll say something wrong, or we'll offend someone, or we'll forget someone in our prayer, or that somehow our words won't be eloquent enough. I don't know, maybe 100 or so other reasons. But it's interesting that if we look at those reasons, most of the time, the reasons we have for being afraid to pray have nothing to do with God. They're all about us. I think that most of us understand deep within our hearts that God is not going to forget us or be upset or strike us down with lightning if we say something wrong in a prayer. After all, God knows what's in our hearts. God knows what we need even before we ask. So why should we be afraid to pray? Some might say, why do we even need to pray at all? Well, Henry Nouwen writes that prayer is the intentional, concentrated, and regular effort to create space for God. Notice that the emphasis in his words is on God. He goes on to say, if we think about prayer in terms of its usefulness to us, what prayer will do for us, what spiritual benefits we will gain, what insights we will gain, what divine presence we may feel, that God cannot easily speak to us. But if we can detach ourselves from the ideas of the usefulness of prayer and the results of prayer, we can become free to waste a precious hour with God in prayer. When we pray, we open ourselves to God, to let God work in our lives and to listen to God speak to us. The purpose of prayer is to get us out of the way and let God work in our lives. If we are concerned about what we say or how we say it, and we will just quite frankly get in the way, and whether or not God will answer us, we're not going to be in a position to hear or see God's response. In our story from Luke, the disciples ask what I think many of us would like to ask Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray. Many of us struggle with what to say and how to say it. Prayer is personal. It comes from the heart, and it's not something that you can really teach. I'm sorry to say, Ryan, there are no classes in seminary that are going to teach you how to pray. And there is and always will be a long debate about whether one should plan and write out prayers or whether prayer should be spontaneous. The interesting thing, though, about the disciples' question is what they add to the question. Lord, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. It sounds like Jesus' disciples saw something that was really cool that John was teaching his disciples, and they wanted a piece of the action. Knowing that Jesus is even more important than John, even if they didn't understand why, they go running to Jesus and they say, wow, did you see what John is teaching his guys? Teach us to do it better. This is another one of those moments when I can picture Jesus rolling his eyes in frustration. But Jesus answers their question by giving them a sort of outline for prayer. Words that have become very important to our faith. Words that we say almost every time we gather for worship. Words that we call the Lord's Prayer. And because Jesus gave us these words and instructs us to say them when we pray, we consider them to be essential and important to our faith. The interesting thing, though, about this reading from Luke is that Jesus' response to his disciples is not really about prayer. Instead, he gets at the real heart of what prayer is all about. One day, many years ago, I got a call from my manager. We were having a problem in the manufacturing of one of our products. And he asked me if I could help him get some data to figure out what was going on. So he told me to go into the system and produce specific data for a specific period of time. Being the good employee that I was, I generated the report exactly as he specified. When he got the report, he looked at it, he had this puzzled look on his face, and he said, "This doesn't tell me what I need to know." I responded as respectfully as possible and said, "Then tell me what you need to know, not what you want me to." This is what Jesus is really saying to his disciples when they request that, when they ask him to teach them how to pray. He gives them the information that they ask for by giving them specific words to say, but then he gets to the real point and tells them what they really need to know. They ask for instruction on how to pray, and Jesus gives them a lesson on the nature of God. The parable that Jesus tells in response to the question is a bit odd, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense to our 21st century thinking. You see, hospitality was a very interesting thing in Jesus' time. In the first century, food was very, very scarce. To share a meal with someone meant that you were likely to not have enough food to feed yourself and your family the next day. And yet, to not show hospitality and not offer food to a friend, a guest, or a stranger was a disgrace. So with that in mind, you can see the urgency of the neighbor who has a friend show up in the middle of the night. We can also empathize with his friend whose door he's banging on. The friend who says, look, I've gone to bed, my family's to bed, everything's put up, don't bother me. But he's persistent and eventually gets the help he needs. This parable is about the nature of God, God's willingness to answer prayer. Jesus' point is that God is always ready to listen and to help. The words that Jesus gives us begins simply with the word Father. God is listening. God is always ready and willing. We don't have to get God's attention. So if a friend does not want to bother, a friend who does not want to be bothered will eventually help you. How much more will a God who is always listening and always ready help you when you need and you ask? Jesus goes on to explain, ask and it will be given, searching you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Call on God and God will provide you with everything you need. Prayer is the actual petition, the asking, the searching, and the knocking. But more importantly, the purpose of prayer is not the actual petition. It's not the words. It's not important when we pray, where we pray, how we pray, or the words we use when we pray. None of that makes any difference. The importance of prayer is for us to open our hearts and let God be God in our lives. We are reminding from the reading from James, that we are to pray constantly. We should pray when we're suffering. We should pray songs of praise when we're cheerful. We should pray for the sick because prayers of faith can heal the sick and the Lord will lift us up. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. We pray to God not to tell God what we need. God knows that anyway. But to open our hearts to what God offers to us. If someone offers you unsolicited advice, you're likely not to pay any attention. In fact, if they do it constantly, you're likely to have a few choice words for them. But if you ask someone for advice, then you are open and willing to listen to what they have to say. That's what we do when we pray. I guess by our standards, Henry Nouwen is right. Prayer is wasting time with God. And in a culture where it is considered a waste of time if we don't actually accomplish something, then taking time away from important tasks is a waste of time. In fact, if you're like me, when you do take time to sit down and pray, all my mind does is wander off on all the things that I need to do, and I have difficulty focusing on prayer. A friend of mine often reminds me of a quote by Martin Luther that you've probably heard in many different ways, where Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Maybe Luther was right. Some project management theories teach that you should spend 3 to 4 hours planning for every hour of actual work. What would our day look like if we applied that theory to prayer? What would our lives look like if we spent 3 hours every day in prayer? Martin Luther also said that to be a Christian without praying is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Prayer is the open line between us and God. Prayer is the lifeblood of our faith, but prayer can only sustain and guide us if, in Nouwen's words, we can detach ourselves from the ideas of the usefulness of prayer and the results of that prayer. So, my friends, waste some time with God. Waste a little time getting to know a God who is already in your life and already listening to what you have to say. Waste a little time with the God who promises. Ask and you will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Waste a little time and see how opening your life to God can change your life, can change the way you think, the way you act, and the way that you love. I think that you'll find that it will actually be very productive time. Time that will shape and guide you for the rest of your life. To God be the glory now and forevermore.